This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. Disney's new film, The Jungle Book, is drawing rave reviews for its computer-generated graphics and realistic-looking animal characters. The storyline, if you're not familiar with it, is that a baby boy is abandoned in the jungles of India and raised by a panther, a bear, and other animals. The boy, named Mowgli, struggles to find his place in the animal kingdom. Well, Disney has poured hundreds of millions of dollars into a film that stars high-profile actors like Scarlett Johansson, Bill Murray, and Idris Elba. But what most reviewers are not telling you is that the studio's remake of its 1967 cartoon classic is based on an 1899 story by Rudyard Kipling, an apologist for British colonialism in India. My guest is Stephanie Abraham. She's an Arab-American writer and media critic. She helped found the feminist magazine Makeshift, was a founding editor of Loudmouth. She has written in a number of publications. She's also the pop culture correspondent and film critic for Rising Up with Sonali. Welcome to the show, Stephanie.
Thanks, Sonali. It's great to be here.
So first, tell us who Rudyard Kipling was. Most people who go to see this film in theaters are not going to have, you know who he is and probably have never heard of him.
Right. Well, he is sometimes referred to as the head of empire. He wrote a book in 1899 called, no, not a book, a poem called The White Man's Burden, wherein he basically propagated that the U.S. should colonize the Philippines, and he referred to Filipino people as half devil and half child. So he was a colonialist. He was a British man who was born in India and lived there many years. He also was an Orientalist and believed in empire and was unabashed about it in all of his writings, including the stories that make up The Jungle Book, which was published 5 years earlier.
And so when you say Orientalist, can you explain that for our audience, how this sort of, white man's gaze on the brown other people exoticized them? And perhaps this came through more clearly in the 1967 Disney cartoon than it does in this new version of The Jungle Book, because maybe people are, you know, hoping to be a little bit more politically correct. But how exactly did Rudyard Kipling kind of embody what was the standard approach at that time of whites looking at non-whites?
Sure. Well, Edward Said wrote a book called Orientalism, and he really coined the term Orientalist, which is this idea of the Orient, this imagined space generally running through West Asia and down into South Asia, including India. And it's kind of where the place where genies are, and there's no people, no real people there. And so we have this imagined jungle where animals speak English, and there's this orphan boy who, you know, is really friends with all the animals, but really the king of the jungle too. So Mowgli kind of represents the colonizer, because he rules the jungle. He has what's called the red flower. That's what they call it. It's the fire. All the animals in the animal kingdom are afraid of man because he has fire. But Mowgli is also smarter than the humans. He does dabble in the local village, and he's smarter than them because he can live in the jungle as well. So this is kind of the idea of an empty space where the colonizer can go and make friends with everybody and rule over them at the same time, embodies Orientalism.
Right. Even the name Mowgli, M-O-W-G-L-I, is this like anglicized version of an Indian name that I, as an Indian, have never heard of. it's kind of like this imagined Indian, idealized Indian. But even though this protagonist is Indian, as you say in the original book and in the Disney cartoon, he is a stand-in for the colonizer. And in a way, did it kind of reinforce Rudyard Kipling's separatist views that, you know, in the end, humans can't live among the animals? In other words, whites have to be separate from non-whites?
Yeah, this is a major theme in his stories in The Jungle Book. So Mowgli's in about three of the short stories in The Jungle Book. And a major theme that runs through is that you need to stick to your own kind. And that's why he actually gets banished from the wolves and has to go live with the man village, what they call the man village. But once he's in the man village, they reject him there too because they think he's kind of possessed by spirits. And so he represents the humans as he exoticized them as very superstitious, whereas Mowgli is more logical. So that's another idea of the Orient, is that the quote unquote natives are superstitious, but the British, the colonizer, are, you know, logical. Hmm. And this is very clear in the 1967 version. When Baloo, Mowgli's friend, this big bear, and his panther friend try and get him to go live in the man village because the tiger wants to kill him. And they say, well, you wouldn't marry a panther, would you? The panther says it to Baloo, and then Baloo says it to Mowgli. So it's this kind of idea of you need to stick to your own. And what's really interesting is that same year in 1967, you know, the civil rights cause was raging, and the Jim Crow law had just been broken down a few years earlier. And the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that interracial marriage was legal for the first time in 50 states. So that's happening off screen. And then, you know, Disney's kind of reinforcing this separatist ideology on screen.
And I remember watching the original Disney film and kind of even as a child watching it, being a little bit disturbed by this American view of India. Of course, later on I realized that it was based on a book written by a British, a man who was an apologist for colonialism. But I was sort of horrified that Disney would remake one of their most politically incorrect films. Of course, Disney has a huge history of politically incorrect films, racist films. And the original 1967 cartoon, The Jungle Book, had significant problems with it. In fact, I want to play for you and our audience one of the songs from the film, which featured this troop of monkeys, one of whom is singing to Mowgli. You know, he wants to be just like Mowgli. And he's a monkey who's singing with a very black sounding cadence.
Now I'm the king of the swingers, oh, the jungle VIP. I've reached the top and had to stop, and that's what's bothering me. I want to be a man cub, and stroll right into town, and be just like the other men. I'm tired of mugging around, oh.
And that is one of the songs from the original 1967 cartoon, The Jungle Book. And there for our radio audience, it says essentially a group of monkeys, one of whom is singing in what sounds like Louis Armstrong's voice, saying, I want to be just like you. He's singing that to Mowgli, the boy. Now, of course, for anybody who knows the history of racism in the United States, the overtones, or rather undertones of this scene cannot be missed. Stephanie?
No, absolutely. And actually, Disney came under a lot of fire because of that. And they considered casting Louis Armstrong in that role, but then they were afraid of the criticism. So they cast a white musician named Louis Prima instead. But it doesn't really matter because you can hear it's very jazzy and people assume it's Louis Armstrong. And at the time, like I said, you know, it was the middle of the separatist movement from the whites and civil rights really fighting for integration. And to put that on screen was totally off. In fact, King Louis is an invented character. He wasn't in the Kipling stories. The monkeys do kidnap Mowgli. But King Louis as a character is invented.
Hmm. So this was Disney's improvement on what Rudyard Kipling wrote?
Yeah.
All right. So Stephanie, you went to watch the new version, the 2016 new and improved version, which of course what media critics are raving about is the fact that it's very realistic looking. The animals are CGI in the sort of Life of Pi style of CGI graphics. And the reviews are, you know, one of them called it a heartfelt visual marvel, gorgeous, nearly perfect family adventure. What did you make on this make of this remake of the 67 cartoon film done as a feature film? Did Disney try to or manage to avoid the pitfalls in a movie that is even just completely premised on a racist book.
Right. So John Favreau is the director, and he said he wanted to do more of an adventure, action adventure, and he definitely accomplished that. The new movie is closer to the original story, so it's a lot darker. The head of the wolf pack is killed pretty early on. There's lots of violence between the animals. And in fact, censors in India made it basically a PG-12 movie, saying that children couldn't see it by themselves. Because
the film was actually released in India already, right?
That's right. Yeah, they did a release there a week early. Mm. And they have quite big name stars for the Hindi version, including Priyanka Chopra, who's on Quantico here in the US, who's one of their most famous Bollywood actresses. So,
there's a different version for an Indian audience with different actors?
In the voiceover.
Huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think it's kind of interesting the way they're thinking about it globally.
Right, but they did cast, what about the boy, the main character who plays Mowgli? I understand that he was actually an Indian actor?
He's Indian American from New York, and it was his first audition. He has never acted before, and he did do a stunning job. I mean, he was the only human being actor in the movie. They gave him puppets to work off of, and it was all shot on a stage in downtown Los Angeles, so... What the critics are saying is true. It's visually stunning. It's really beautiful. I didn't see it in 3D, but I can imagine that, you know, things really just do pop out at you. So it would probably even be more magnificent. But this is kind of a Disneyfication, if you will, or it's also very in line with US politics, which is to just notice how beautiful things are and how amazing, and look at the technology and really just ignore the history of the story and, as you said, the undertones of it. So they're still very much like, stick with your own kind, and where do you belong, and who has the right to belong is one of the major themes.
And of course, you know, yet again, we have a film set in India. It doesn't matter where it's filmed, it's set in India, and all we see are the exotic, you know, sort of animal, beautiful jungle scenes that just reinforce that that's what India is about, even though this is supposedly set many, many years ago. Now, what about the fact that this is a very male-dominated film, despite the some big-name female actors in it? The original 1967 film, were there like any women in it at all?
So a recent study came out and said that the 1967 film had 98% of the dialogue was by male characters.
98%.
So the 2%.
Even like the animals, right?
Yeah, that's right. So this is India is an imagined space where there are no humans. There's only one, Mowgli, and the other humans are kind of weird and not very smart. They live in villages and play with fire. And then the kingdom of the animals that do exist are mostly men. So in the 1967 version, the elephant's wife gets to talk, and a little girl that Mowgli falls in love with at the very end sings a very seductress song. So, you know, the story is that the director today wanted to have more women involved. And so he did a good job sticking more to the story, in that the mother cub gets to speak. And she's quite strong, actually. and in the end, she gets to rule the pack, which was cool to see. The other woman who speaks is, the mother cub is played by Lupita Nyong'o. And there's a new female role, which is Ka, the snake, who's the seductress, and she's played by Scarlett Johansson. So I think it's very problematic that the one female role they did add was a seductress snake. So it's very much within kind of the gender roles that women get to play, the nurturer and the seductress.
What about racial stereotypes? I mean, we have, as you mentioned, Lupita Nyong'o, and we also have Idris Elba, two incredible Black actors who, you know, are very, very high profile.
Yeah, unfortunately, I mean, I think it's great, you know, it's not a completely white cast, but really after, you know, hashtag Oscars so white, that should be just a given. We shouldn't even have to say that. And the black characters who are kind of main roles, also the head of the wolf pack, he gets killed right away. And then the nurturer is the black woman, and the feared tiger, Shere Khan, is the black man who's the aggressive enemy that everybody fears. So these are really typical roles that, you know, African heritage people are offered in Hollywood. It's not really breaking those stereotypes at all, unfortunately.
Well, Stephanie, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, for being our film critic and for sharing these ideas with us. You know, the media just are not covering this aspect of the new Jungle Book film. So thank you so much.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Stephanie Abraham is an Arab American writer and media critic. She helped found the feminist magazine Makeshift. She was a founding editor of Loudmouth, and she's written in a number of publications. She's the pop culture correspondent and film critic for Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. Oh, and by the way, you can check out Stephanie's own website at stephanieabraham.com. Back in a minute.